Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you, Susan, for that beautiful song. You have a wonderful talent, and it's a good service to all of us. We certainly all appreciate that very, very much. Also like to thank Paul and Tina Kaysen for this wonderful light that's up here, and I'm sure all the other speakers will feel exactly the same way as well, too, something that we have needed for a long time. Well, back in June, I got a call from the home office, and they asked if we would come up to Cincinnati this year for the feast and help out up there. So we said for sure yes, we will do that. And so we kept the feast this year at the so-called satellite site in Cincinnati. It's a project that they are trying out. There were 193 of us in attendance, and we really had a really good mix of age groups, all the way from newborns and toddlers and little children, all the way up to those that were in their 80s and 90s. Really a good mix, a cross-section of ages there. And we had a wonderful children's choir. God loves music, and these little kids, little bitty tykes, they could sing out and knew all the words, and they didn't need a microphone. I mean, they could blast it right out, and we were just really amazed at them, how well they did. Well, anyway, the term satellite site was started last year, actually, and it's a test that they are doing, and it's due to the economic downturn that is happening all across the country. And they are finding a couple of factors here. One, the church membership is getting older. A lot of people are retiring. And then with the economic downturn, there are a lot of families that are kind of upside down in their houses, also in their bills. A lot of people having a hard time making ends meet. And so the church is thinking out different alternatives of how everybody can keep the feast. And so is what this may reel out to is smaller feast sites that will be available along with the larger ones. So, you know, those who want to go to the larger ones and, you know, go to the beach and all that, that is fine too. But they are going to start providing what they call satellite sites to make it possible for everybody to go to the feast. And I know they're in the Cincinnati area. They came in as far as way, I think, as Cleveland, Ohio, and there were some, you know, from some other distant areas as well, too, that really couldn't go much further. But basically, they were mainly from the Cincinnati area that just did not have enough money to go on to another feast site. So this is a project that they are trying to work the bugs out of, and we're glad to be on the ground floor of this, of helping them to do this as well, too. As I said, we had 193 in attendance, and we had all the activities of the big feast sites. We had so many things to do that there really wasn't enough time to do them all. I mean, we could have went to the symphony, we could have went to museums. There were many things to see there, many parks to go to. We had family day. We had, you know, just everything that you would have at the big feast sites. They got, you know, special pricing on different locations and things. And we stayed at a very large, very nice Holiday Inn. And that's also where we kept the feast. And, and for those who like to shop, is all they had to do was walk across this large parking lot and you would be at the Eastgate Mall. And then there was many shopping areas all around there as well, too. So they really didn't miss out on any of the activities or anything that you would have in the big feast site. It all worked out, extremely well. But the most outstanding thing that we saw, you know, standing from afar, looking off and evaluating what was going on, and it was so open and so obvious, you know, everyone there considered each other as a personal family member. And we saw people that were in wheelchairs that were serving. We saw young kids serving. Everybody became, in this smaller group, one family. And I don't know that, you know, if it was because they didn't have much tithe money. I don't know if it was, because it was smaller that it brought people closer together, but they came together really as a family. I mean, it was so obvious that, we were just, like in awe about it, and that was some of the factors that we saw in this smaller group. And we didn't have to ask anybody to serve. When somebody saw something that needed to be done, they jump in and did it. I mean, it was right on the spot. We didn't lack for anything there. And like I said, it was the elderly people, even some in wheelchairs that were serving right along with the young people. It was amazing. They really showed true love, and being family was the most outstanding things that we actually saw. We had one little problem that actually turned out to be a blessing in disguise. The Holiday Inn overbooked the place, and as what they did, they booked a wedding on October the 6th, which was the Sabbath, during the feast. And it turned out to be a blessing in disguise because the home office was about 3 miles away up the highway, and so we tore everything down, the sound equipment and the feast decorations and everything, and we drove up to the home office. And we had services up there, and it turned into a wonderful blessing because we also had full use of the church kitchen, and we made one little announcement. We said, if you want to bring something, just bring what you can, that's fine. Well, it was overwhelming. There was so much food. They were asking people to come back 3 and 4 times for helpings. We got too much food, and so it ended up. People were taking box loads of food that lived in the local area home with them. I mean, it was just amazing. I was looking for the fishes. It was amazing to see all the food that God produced there. And we, like I said, we got to use the home office kitchen and all the facilities there. And also on the property, on the church property, somebody grew this really nice garden. I think it was the Creech family, I think, was part of it. And we walked out there, Pat and I walked out there during the break to see what it looked like. And there was probably a dozen nice watermelons that were growing, loads of tomatoes and cucumbers and things like this, And we knew that on the news it said that morning that there was a killing frost coming that night. So we went back in and we had everybody that lived in the local area go out and raid the garden. And they did. I mean, it was a wonderful blessing for those that were locally there. So we were so glad about that. And then to top it all off, I got to give the sermon that day at the home office. So I was really thrilled about that. And everything worked out really well. And then the next day, we moved back down to the Holiday Inn and carried on as if nothing happened. Like I said, everybody jumped in and did what they had to do to put it back on. And everybody will tell you their feast stories. We all have wonderful feast stories. And Pat and I certainly did up there. And we were glad to be part of that special so-called satellite site, which really didn't seem like a satellite site. It was a full-blown site to us, which brought me to my sermon today. Seeing all these examples of what was going on up there and serving at the feast, and it compelled me to brag about you here in Nashville and in Murfreesboro. I bragged about our people in Jackson and Bowling Green. I was really a braggart up there about our people here. We're family here. When somebody needs something, we jump in and we help out. We do it. We take care of each other. And that is one of the amazing things that we have here in the South as well, too. And so I was compelled to brag about us down here as well. And, we can always count on each other for the good times and for the bad times, the hard times. And no matter who gets elected in a few days, no matter who becomes president, hard times are going to come. There is no doubt about it. We are too deep in debt as a nation to ever get out in any of our lifetimes. over $16 trillion. And Mr. Vernish was telling me earlier today that with the interest and everything, within just a few short years, we're going to be over $20 trillion in debt. So hard times are coming. And we had better learn how to be even better family members, learning how to take care of one another and love one another. The title of my sermon today is Keep in the Love of God. Keep in the Love of God. Let's turn over to James 1:27. James 1:27 to start with. Where he says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Yeah, we are to be there to help. We are family. God only called a certain number of people, and we are in this number that that are family here on earth right now. We are to help and take care of one another, which we do. And I'm so glad that that we are that way as well, too. But the other part of the scripture says, keep yourself unspotted from the world. We need to be separate. We know that you know, we're living in this instant communication where we're exposed to so much that is coming to us through all sources in the computer and just in conversation with people, whatever. There are all kinds of sinful and evil attitudes and bad thoughts that can rub off on any one of us if we're not careful. We must be aware of what's happening around us and be careful that these bad things don't rub off on us. Each year and each decade has its own little fads and trends. And they might sound, kind of not harmful when you first hear them, but very subtly they produce sinful habits in us, bad habits that can transfer into our language, transfer into the way that we live our lives, is what it does. And what Satan is trying to do is to take us off of the road of the straight and narrow, of living by God's laws and living the kind of love life for others that we should be doing. Ties very much into the sermonette and also this time of the year. We know and remember, to be in God's kingdom, we must endure until the end of our lives and growing daily in the character of God. And if we allow anything to get into our way, in this day and time that we live in, it could block us from living in the character of God. Who is love? God is love. And we must, as the title of this sermon, keep in the love of God. Oh, and we will be tested. We will be tested from time to time. As you know and have heard me say it even before, God has to know if he can trust us before he will change us into a spirit being that lives forever. God has to know that he can trust us before he does that. He wants us to choose rightly so that we can be in his kingdom. Let's turn, since we're in James, let's go ahead and read verses 2 through 4. That's in chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. It gives us the understanding and the faith that we need to endure to the end. It produces that patience in us so that we can do that. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And that's growing daily in God's word and in his truth. Let's go ahead and read verses 5 through 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and if will be given to you, to him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith with nothing doubting. We have to grow in our knowledge of God's truth And how do we get faith? We get faith through our study, our Bible study, and our prayers with God working with us and teaching us. That's how we grow in faith. Faith is that confidence that we know what God says is true, what he is saying to us, without doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave in the sea, driven and tossed by wind. That's a person who hasn't been paying attention. That's a person that is not taking advantage of the calling that God is giving. Verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. We need to be taking advantage of the calling that God has given us. Take advantage of learning and building that faith, that confidence that we know that every word from God is true and that we can depend on it. It's very easy for any of us to be committing sin right here in the church, right here in church services. We have to be on our toes every second because we know Satan is constantly broadcasting. He's that big radio station in the sky that is constantly broadcasting evil thoughts and attitudes, and he is out to get us. While we are in the book of James, let's look at James 2. We'll start in verse 1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. You know, we are to be loving everybody, not separating people out or becoming a little clique over here and a little clique over here or whatever, without partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come a poor man with filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, oh, you sit over here, we got a fine seat for you over here in this good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there. You know, you look kind of shabby, actually. Just stand over here out of the way, or, you know, sit down here by my footstool, so to speak. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Very easy to do that. If you see somebody come in that's kind of influential, or you think they are, take all the fine clothes off them. We're all the same. And we should not have any partiality at all. Verse 5, listen, my beloved brethren, God has not chosen the poor of this world to be. God has not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him. But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into court? Yeah, they have the money. They can sue you, and they will take you to court at a drop of a hat today. Can the poor man do that? Oh, he can't. He can't even afford a lawyer. He's not going to do that to you. And he's got a different attitude as well too. Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you were called? And what is that noble name? That noble name is God the Father. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted of the law as transgressors. You know, and he goes on to tell us there in verse 10 that, you know, if you stumble in one point, you're guilty of all. And we all have to be careful of how we approach each and every person right here in our family that we're sitting next to. We cannot show any partiality at all. Why? God doesn't. He is love, and Jesus Christ is our example that we must follow. A lot of things that we need to be thinking about right here in our own family. We are the church of God. We are that little group. We are one of few that are called in different eras of time. And we must learn to love one another. The book of Titus shows us and reminds us, you know, the qualities of a good, sound church. Let's turn to Titus. That's that little bitty book that's right before Revelation. Let's turn to Titus. Jacob. I'm sorry. That's not there. I was thinking of Jude. Timothy, Titus, right after Timothy. Getting them crossed up here. Titus. Chapter 2, let's start in verse 1 there, in chapter 2. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith. You know, they have studied, they have learned, they are sound in faith, in love, in patience. They know how to treat other people, know how to not show partiality. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers. You know, they don't cut the neighbors up. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort or encourage the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech. You know, watch your language. You may pick up some bad habits from the people that you work with or even on the TV or whatever. Sound speech. It's impossible to completely control the tongue, but we need to be aware of it. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. You know, keep yourself unspotted from the world, going back to that part of it. Exhort, again, encourage servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, not stealing. You know, even in an office that you work in, if you pick up a pencil and walk out with it, that is pilfering. But showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, whatever age that we live in, whatever fads or trends that Satan is promoting. You know, we are to be different. We are to be peculiar in their eyes, as I mentioned once before. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us for every lawless deed and purify for himself. He is teaching us. He is purifying us in this little short time life that we have. He is purifying us for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Good family members. Good neighbors to other people. Good examples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good examples of the character of God. Speaking these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Be that kind of a serving person, that loving person with the character of God, is what Jesus Christ is purifying and building in each and every one of us. Also, while we are in Titus, let's go over to chapter 3. Let's start in verse 1 there. We'll continue on in verse 1 there. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. You know, there's a lot of laws that we can see our government passing that are considered oppressive to us. How are we to react to that? Well, he tells us here, we are to be subject to our rulers and authorities. God hears our prayers. He will see us through. We are not to depend on ourselves. We are to ask God to see us through, even if a tyrannical government or whatever would be over us, or anything that we think would be out of line or not fair. Pray to God. God will see us through. For every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish and disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, you know, God called us, and it's God the Father that did the calling. It wasn't Jesus. It was God the Father that did the calling. He knew us before we were born, and He called us. Not by works, we didn't have any, of righteousness, which we have done, you know, even after we were born. You know, there's nothing good enough that we could have done for God to call us. But according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's God's Holy Spirit that does the work in us. We are the temple of God. He lives in us, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We have that hope of eternal life. We're called out. We're called to know what each and every one of His statutes, His holy days, picture, what they mean. He gave us His plan of salvation. We know that. We have that hope of eternal life. The world doesn't yet. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. You know, go over them constantly in your mind. That those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. That's me and you. That's us, a family. Family that God has brought together. Not because we wanted to join this family. He brought us together because He knew us and He wanted to bring us together. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a device of man, for after the first and second admonishment, you know, we say, you know, hey, pal, you're stepping out of line. You should be doing this. And after the first and second time, knowing that such person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. After he has been warned, we should not be around that type of a person. When I sent Artemis to you, or Tychius, be diligent to come to me, Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. In verse 14, and let our people also learn and maintain good works to meet urgent needs. You know, if someone has an urgent need in our family, our church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, they may not be unfruitful, but be devoted to serve one another. That's what we are called to do, because we are all in this same process. Jesus is purifying us for Himself. And we are in this together. And we must love one another as our personal family, because we are. Must be devoted to serve. Each of us, men and women, we are all called to do a ministry. Each one of us are called to do a ministry. We each have different talents. Susan sings. She does many other things as well, too. I could pick out many right here in this congregation right here that go over and beyond serving. They do wonderful, wonderful things. That's why I brag so much about you there in Cincinnati to our brothers and sisters up there. And they love you too. We are all in and one family. But we all have we are all called to do a ministry, a service to one another and to those that are not in the church as well too. Our ministry is to set that example that Jesus Christ made for us. Show the world that there is a way, a better way. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4. We're in Titus. Let's turn back just a page in my Bible. 2 Timothy 4. Let's read verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. He's talking about the seasons of the holy days. His statutes. That's Moed. His seasons of that we are commanded to keep. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, there are many that are in God's church that we need to be exhorting and helping and encouraging along the way, helping one another to grow, because there will come a time when they will not endure sound doctrine according to their own desires. Why? Well, because they haven't grown that much in faith. They haven't studied enough, maybe. Maybe they had other things occupying them. Satan has been after them harder, whatever it is. Be ready to help one another and encourage one another. And some of them, because they have itchy ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. You know, they will say, well, you know, I really don't believe what was said over here in this part of the Bible, and I want to see what so-and-so thinks about this because I think they're kind of smart. And they start getting itchy ears, wanting to hear different opinions about the Bible, about God's truth. And the next thing you know, the only thing that produces is doubt. And they lose any faith that they may have had. Lose any confidence at all. And they raise up for themselves teachers that will teach them whatever they want to hear. And they will turn to their ears. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to the fables, you know, to the lies of what somebody dreamed up that was considered a smart person. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. An evangelist is one that goes from place to place, helping other people. Teaching other people. That's evangelism. Each and every one of us, men and women both, are called to set that example, to show our neighbors, to show everybody that we come in contact with. Live the truth of God. That's what we are to be doing. And Jesus tells us, you know, how we are to love one another. Mr. Walker gave the scripture there of Matthew 25. You know, Christ says, you know, he says, you know, when you do it to me or when you do it to other people, you're doing it to me. But then, if you will, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And let's read verses 41 through 46. Matthew 25, verses 41 through 46. Jesus speaks to those who do not follow his example of loving and caring for each other. That's what he speaks to right here. Jesus speaking. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. That's in that last time when those that are unteachable will be burned up. Verse 42, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they will answer and say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? I need an out here. Or a stranger or naked or sick in prison, and you did not minister. You know, those who did not live according to what they knew, what they were taught, these are the ones that Jesus is talking to here. Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This family setting that God has called me and you to be a part of, it's more than a family setting, it's a family that we are called into. And we're different personalities, we're different ones. God is chipping off the rough edges of each and every one of us in this process called conversion. We are being converted to where we can be trusted enough and know enough and to live like God the Father and Jesus Christ do, with love enough to be turned into a spirit being and to live forever. We are in this family, and we need to be more aware of it and practice it every day. We are a good family here, and we need to maintain that and keep up with it. Very Much Love was very vivid in the so-called satellite feast site in Cincinnati. And I call it so-called. Ministerial trainee David Jones was our festival coordinator. And if you will, I want you all to please pray for David and his wife Joy, because this next week, they are moving to Nebraska to pastor a church there. And they're going to need your prayers. They are part of our family. They are the part of our family that's he has quit his job. He is going into the ministry to serve the other parts of our family. And they will need your help along the way. And that's a large undertaking for him to do. He's been in, and he has been going through some training. He still needs some help along the way here. He is new. He is learning how to love others even more. That was one of the processes that he is going through right now. But let's get back to the story about him. When he gave the announcements every day at the feast, he was referring to us as the satellite site. And, people would kind of look around, satellite site, you know, what is different? They really didn't see much different. And, about 3/4 away through the feast, I went to Dave and I says, we probably need to stop calling this the satellite site. Because some that are even not in Cincinnati here keeping the feast or keeping it in other places may even feel sorry for us, thinking that, you know, we're just at that little satellite site. And that we're missing out on a great deal of God's spiritual food or something. And we're not. The lessons that we were taught there were from God. We had everything there that a big feast site would. The only thing was, our family there were a lot poorer. And they needed help. They would not be able to go to the feast unless we put this together. Now, this is a project that we're testing out. And as times get rougher and harder, we will know the areas that are hurt the worst, and we will put these feast sites into place in these areas to where everybody can go to the feast. And I made the suggestion that we stop calling it the satellite site. God placed his name there. He was feeding us the spiritual food. And we observed a closeness where people took care of each other. Even those that were in wheelchairs and young people, they all loved and took care of each other as a family. It was refreshing to feel and see. the closeness of God's love that was flowing through these people. We were not a satellite feast site. That was a full-blown feast site. Probably one of the best ones that Pat and I have been to. We went there and we kept the feast. And it was a wonderful thing. So through the rest of the feast, Mr. Jones did not refer to it as a satellite site. We were the Cincinnati feast site. And we were proud of it. Glad to be there. I think probably for those who thought they had no chance at all of going to the feast, found this so refreshing that God put it in their hearts to even serve more and to be a part of it and to make it work. Hard times are coming. Hard times are coming. We're going to have to learn how to take care of each other too. We may have to take what little food that we have maybe in our pantry and give it to other people as well too. May have to help those that have no place to live. Just as Mr. Coleman Walker and I spoke of there in Matthew 25. You know, did you come to me when I was hungry? Did you come to me when I was naked? Did you come to me when I was in prison? Did you help me? Did you do this or do that? God is judging us on how well we love one another, how we are family. We need to take advantage of it. In closing, we all know that Satan knows these are the last days. There are crazy things that are going on in the world right now. More than wars and rumors of wars. It was just on the news yesterday. They said that Iran, I think Mr. Leon Panetta came on the news. He said Iran has the capabilities of shutting down all of our computers, which would, you wouldn't be able to pump gasoline, wouldn't be able to pump water to your houses, wouldn't have natural gas or electricity or anything. Iran has the capabilities right now, announced yesterday on national news, to shut us down. Our people are scrambling trying to figure out how to avoid that, just as we speak. There are crazy things happening right now. Satan is going wild. The church belongs to God, and He does not want it divided. He wants us to be close family members. He does not want division in His church, and only He has the right to divide it. He may shake some of the dead leaves off the tree that would hurt the body. That is possible. But over in the book of Jude, God shows us who to beware of and how we should be. Now let's turn to that little book right before Revelation. I was getting way ahead of myself earlier. But let's do turn to Jude. And let's read first verse 16. God will show us who to beware of in verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. That can tip you off right away when you see these sorts of things. And then verses 17 through 21 shows us how we should be. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time. We're talking about the last days. And in our lives, this is the last days and the last times. We don't know how long we're going to live. These are the last days. In the last time, who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions. They want to divide God's church, break the family up, ruin someone's faith to where they say, well, I don't know what to believe anymore, because they haven't been studying the Bible and God's true words and living by it, being a good family member, not having the Spirit. Spirit of God. Verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, we are the temple of God. God's Holy Spirit lives in us. Remember that all your waking hours. God's Holy Spirit is living in us. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life, until the day we die or the return of Jesus Christ. We, the United Church of God, we are one family. Let's be more aware of it. Hard times are coming. We have to take care of each other, both physically and spiritually. Encourage one another. Quote scripture to one another of how we should be so we all remember, so we don't get distracted with the world and dance off somewhere else. These are our children. These are our brothers and sisters. We are one family. Let's all keep in the love of God in doing that.